This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Billions every year on vitamins and supplements, but some new research is raising some big questions. Are they actually worth it or just clever marketing? Well, joining me is Program Director of Nutrition and Food Sciences at the University of South Australia, Evangeline Mancioris. Good to have you back, fresh from Paris.
Oh, thank you. Lovely to be back.
Now, we're spending how much over $3 billion a year on supplements? Why are so many of us taking them?
I know. That's a huge amount of money, isn't it, for a small country like us? And it seems people take them for a variety of reasons. Firstly, they're interested in improving their health or reducing their risk of chronic disease or the effects of chronic diseases. But a lot of people take it because they go, well, I'm not eating brilliantly, so I'm just going to take vitamins and, you know, hoping that that will cancel each other out. Others do it just in case, like, you know, just in case I'm not meeting, it's, you know, worth taking a supplement, as you like, sort of like an insurance policy. But what we know is that the vitamins that are in supplements may be quite different to what's in your food. Firstly, I think people have to realise that we don't know everything that's in our food yet. So the 20-odd, you know, nutrients they have in a multivitamin supplement only represent a small portion of what's actually really in our food. So you're not getting it all.
Could it be then that potentially the vitamin interact somehow with other compounds in the food to absolutely make them effective, and we're missing out on that activation as such?
Yeah, absolutely. In some way, they work together, they might get activated. It might be that there's more natural doses in food as opposed to getting it in one big hit in a supplement. We don't really know, but the evidence has been telling us for quite a while they don't act in the same way. It could also be that the food itself, the matrix of the food architecture, affects the way that these vitamins also work in our body. And basically, you can't out-supplement a bad diet. If you're eating, you know, potato fries, donuts and Coke, taking a supplement does not make you your diet healthy.
Thank goodness that wasn't my lunch today. Now, we see sports stars, celebrities, influencers promoting vitamins. How much of this comes down to clever marketing rather than the real need, do you think?
Oh, absolutely. Look, who these companies use to promote are carefully picked. They pick successful athletes, you know, be they AFL stars, be they whatever domain of sport. They pick the good-looking actors, you know, who show good health and vitality, and they use them very cleverly. The influencers who you may not realise are being paid are actually being paid by companies to also promote their products by product placement. So, and they do it all with that thing of just in case your diet isn't right, here is something to help you.
So it's almost like we need to switch the just-in-case pointer from just in case it's not right to just in case this vitamin is causing toxicity, I won't take it.
Yeah, it's going, okay, if I'm worried that my diet's not good enough, fix up the diet.
Mm.
Eat more fruit and veg. Spend that money that you would otherwise be spending on supplements on actually buying, you know, I say better fruit, like the more perhaps the more expensive fruit that you love eating. You know, for me, it's berries and cherries and mangoes and all that sort of stuff. Or buying more veggies, buying better cuts of meat that have got less fat in them, buying more fish, buying different types of grains. So, you know, and that we know the research backs is going to be more healthy for you.
Now, you've looked at a huge study. What did that show about taking daily multivitamins?
Yeah, so there was a study done that analysed, it was in the US, and they analysed over 400,000 adults, what they were taking, and when they were initially in the study, they had no long-term disease or cancer, and what they did was looked over the next 20 years to see what happened to them. And they also considered everything else that we know impacts on disease, like their education, what their weight is, whether they smoke, whether they drink alcohol, whether they drink coffee, their family history of disease. And what they found was somewhat surprising, people would say. So those, first thing they found, multivitamins did not reduce your risk of death.
Okay, so you're not going to extend your life.
No, but then what they actually found was that those that took it had a higher mortality risk compared to those who didn't use them.
Okay, so you're actually increasing your risk
by 4%. So their assumption was it was going to be beneficial. What they found initially was no benefit, and secondly, it actually increased your risk of death. And that was despite when they controlled for all the other factors that we know can impact on your health.
There's been, I watched something recently, I think it was on 7:30 on the ABC, and it was about vitamin B6 toxicity. And I've been sort of having a tingling in one of my hands. And I noticed at the gym that I'd be picking, say I'm doing deadlifts and I'm picking up a heavy weight, I'd almost get a numbness or an electrical charge down one of my fingers. And I thought, what is going on? And I thought, oh, maybe it's carpal tunnel or something like that. And I went to my GP and he said, no, everything's fine. And then I saw this thing on the TV and it was about vitamin B6 toxicity. And I had a look at the multivitamin that I was taking, that I no longer am taking, and it had this, I think, 50 milligrams or something of B6. Yes. And then I also was taking a vitamin B tablet. So I was getting this double – no, it was a magnesium tablet that had vitamin B6 in it. I was increasing my dose of B6 to the point where it was toxic. I stopped it and now my fingers, the feeling's starting to come back.
Yeah, and that's on top of what you're eating in your diet.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, look, it is really quite dangerous to take supplements, particularly – so if you are diagnosed with an iron deficiency, which is quite common for a lot of people to have anemia, particularly women in the reproductive age, and for them to be prescribed iron. And if you are actually diagnosed through a blood test that you're deficient in something – you absolutely need to take that vitamin or mineral, whatever it is, right? But if you take it as a multivitamin, so you think, oh, well, I need iron. This multivitamin's got iron in it. I may as well just take it. You run the exact risk of what you experienced of overdosing on a particular nutrient. So if you are diagnosed with a deficiency, just select the single nutrient. Don't take it as a multivitamin.
We're chatting with Evangeline Mantioras, Program Director of Nutrition and Food Sciences at the University of South Australia, talking about whether multivitamins are really worth it. I should rephrase that, talking that multivitamins aren't really worth it. This is a really good point that's coming from Sally in Southbank. Sally says, if this is true, why are they sold everywhere without warnings?
Well, that's a good question. They are sold everywhere. And I think as they become more popular, you see them more often and then you think they're more important. But they do say on the label that this may not provide any benefit if you are eating it would only provide benefit if your diet is deficient in one of the nutrients. So it's a good question. Should we have better warnings on them? Should there be more responsibility placed on checking in to see whether you actually need a vitamin? It's quite common, to walk in and say, oh, I feel tired, I don't think I eat well, and then there's a recommendation, just take a multivitamin. That would never be done with, say, someone comes in with symptoms of high blood pressure. They would never say, oh, just take an antihypertensive. It'll always be check first with your doctor before you do. And I think we it's going to take a while to change it, if we can change it. I think it's a matter of raising awareness that you shouldn't be taking it unless you get diagnosed.
Marco in Fitzroy says $3 billion a year on pills instead of fresh produce. Absolutely crazy. He's got a good point there, hasn't he?
It is, especially when only 5% of the population are meeting their vegetable requirements for the day. And the evidence about, eating lots of veggies to improve your health is so, so strong.
Ben in Richmond, I like this one. Paying money to shorten your life. That's a scandal.
Once upon a time we said you'd get expensive wee because largely you urinate out a lot of what you don't use. But now you're getting expensive wee and it increases your risk of death.
If tablets aren't the answer, Evangeline, what does a good, balanced, everyday diet look like?
Yeah, look, I think a lot of us know what it looks like and we just need reminding. The big thing where you're going to get a lot of your nutrients and vitamins and minerals from is consuming plant food. So 2 serves of fruit a day, and a serve is like a banana or an orange or, you know, a cup of preserved fruit.
Mm-hmm.
5 serves of veggies, and a serve of veggies, either half a cup of cooked vegetables or a cup of salad vegetables or half a cup of beans. Having 4 to 5 serves of whole grain a day. So that includes bread, pasta, rice, any type of grain that you like. And then 3 serves of dairy a day. So cheese, milk and yogurt. Sad to say that ice cream is not dairy.
Hey, stop looking at me.
I know, it's so mean, isn't it? And then another lean source of protein, be it fish or chicken or beans and lentils. And what it's probably what it doesn't have, what the diet doesn't have that's also important. So trying to reduce your intake of those ultra-processed foods that we always talk about, and minimising intake of, you know, soft drinks, be they artificially sweetened or normally sweetened. But also making your diet really colourful, because every colour in food is reflecting a different nutrient that's in that food. So try to get as many colours in as you can.
So we want a rainbow, basically.
We do. Very apt, isn't it?
Evangeline, we're running out of time, but just quickly, Andrew says, hi, is fish oil and glucosamine beneficial?
Fish oil has been shown to reduce the severity of rheumatoid arthritis. Glucosamine seems to help some people with osteoarthritis. It's a matter of trying that and seeing if it works for you.
So, Evangeline, just to summarise before we leave, if people are already spending big money on multivitamins, where would you rather see them put that money instead?
Veggies.
Veggies, done.
Veggies, done.
I got one more question for you. You said 3 servings of cheese, did you say, a day?
Dairy.
Dairy. How many servings is a whole block of cheese? I'm asking for a friend.
Depends how big your block is.
Evangeline, good to have you back. Love chatting with you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Thank you. That's Evangeline Mansioris, Program Director of Nutrition and Food Sciences at the University of South Australia. It's 5 o'clock exactly. News time.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.